So, good morning. Speaking to you from, of all crazy places, Muncie, New York. And recording the Daf Yomi for you guys. Last today's Daf is Daf Gimel, Maseches Beitza. And so far what we've learned is basically three possible approaches to our Mishnah. According to Rav Nachman, we're talking about a case of Yerva Tarnagelet, Ha'emet the Gadel Beitzim. And therefore the problem over here is, since it's not meant to be eaten, the issue is an issue of Neilat, the Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Is a question of how you pass it in terms of Mukta and Neilat having the same sack. And the way he works it out is that there's a reversal of Shitas when it comes to the Dinim of Shabbos and the Dinim of Yom Tov. So in Shabbos, where the Tana says to Rabbi Shimon that the din is there's no Mukta, of course we say there's no Mukta, doesn't mean there's no Mukta at all. As we know, there are things that Rabbi Shimon also holds were Noyag Mukta, but it was Mekel in the Dinim of Mukta. So over there, when he passes, he has the way he works out Beit Shammai Beis Hillel is that Beis Hillel is the one who says on Shabbos that it's a Mesavik is a tabla kula uminahara, cannot be true. And other Rabbi Nachman says that the correct way to read is that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, that you can pick up the little pieces. And when it comes to the Beitza, then we find that Bechlal, Tana is Seisen Manu. From the story of the Kaira that broke on Yom Tov, he says, the reason being that Shabbos, which is Chomer, people are not going to be Mizalzalin, but Yom Tov, which is Kal, people may come to be Mizalzalin. So therefore over here, he says, Beis Hillel, who says that you're not allowed to eat the Beit Shinol, don't even Yom Tov. He is talking Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda, because of the fact that Rebbe passed in the Chomer like Rebbe Yehuda, to Aser Mux, and therefore Neilat on Yom Tov. Therefore the same thing would have been true about the Tarnagolat itself, except that we want to show the Tzad Heter of Beit Shammai. Okay, that was one approach. Rabba has a completely different approach. He says we're talking about actually a tarnagolet that is perfectly edible, and the issue over here is not an issue of neilad per se, it's an issue of the fact that the egg that was laid today must have been mukhan for yesterday, and since it's from yesterday, since the Torah was mechayava to prepare our food before Shabbos, and dafka from a yom chol, Shabbos, and not from a Yom Kodesh Shabbos, not from a Yom Tov Shabbos. So therefore, what we have over here is an egg that was prepared on a Shabbos for Yom Tov. I don't seem to be talking about only such a case. Indeed, that's true, but we make a gzera of every Yom Tov because of a Yom Tov that's called Le'ach HaShabbos. That's called Hachana D'Rab. The third option that we had was Rabbi Yosef's approach. Rabbi Yosef's approach is that this is a gzera, that a egg that is laid on Yom Tov is similar to peirot that fall off of a tree. And peirot that fall off a tree, we have a general gezeira. I'm afraid that maybe you're going to go ahead and you're going to pick them. And so therefore, this is similar to that gezeira. So those were the last words that we learned yesterday. And today we're holding on the last line of Beis Hamidrash. So we'll start again from the one right before. The penultimate line, Rav Yosef Omer Gezeira Mishur Peiros HaNoshrim. Omer Le'abaye, how can that be? Peiros HaNoshrim Taima Mai Gezeira Shema Ya'alev Yidlash. Who goof, he goof a Gezeira Vanem Nekum V'nigzor Gezeira L'Gezeira. The only reason that we assert the Peiros HaNoshrim is because maybe he'll be over in the Nisr D'Oraisa of having had some of these fruit, he'd like some more and he'll go and he'll take one off of the tree. But that itself was only a gezeira. Now we're going to see if we're going to allow you to eat a Beit HaShinol D'Miyanta. It's similar to Peiros HaNoshrim, so therefore you may take Peiros HaNoshrim, and if you take Peiros HaNoshrim, you may come to end up picking off of a tree. I mean, that's two steps already. That's called the gezeira l'gezeira. Should we be gezeira l'gezeira l'gezeira? Answers the Gemara kula chad gezeira. The correct way to understand it is, as we explained earlier, it's not that there were two separate stages. The gezeira of Peiros HaNoshrim was a single gezeira of all types of things that were mechuber before, and that now have become detached from their source. So that included automatically a Beit HaShinol, the same way that it included Peirot HaNoshrim. We didn't start saying, well, because there's specifically fruit that come off of the tree. Reb Yitzchak says something very similar, and the Gemara is going to ask what was wrong with the way that Reb Yosef formulated it. But Reb Yitzchak says the problem over here is a Gezeira Mishum Mashkim Shezavu. Here, this is a very similar Gezeira. So the Chachomim, we're gozer over here, and on the day let's say you were holding some fruit, some strawberries, and they're dripping, or some wine would be even the, the truth is it's a complex circuit. There's a difference between those pears that are normally used for drinking and those pears that are not normally used for drinking. Let's take the case of wine. So if you have grapes, and the grapes are dripping by themselves, the question is, are you allowed to use the juice that comes out of them? We have a gazera over there that maybe you'll come to squeeze the pears. If you squeeze the pears, you're going to be over on Disha, because Disha means to take out something, which is just like you have when you're dealing with grain. You're separating now the edible portion of the grain, the fua, from the straw, the rest of the unusable portion, from the kash. So too, over here, you're separating out the drinkable portion from the rest. So it's a told of Disha, you'll be over in the Diyaraisa. So the egg that comes from the chicken is similar to this. And here, again, we thought of it initially similar in the case that you may come to drink Mashkin Shizofu, which is why Omele Abaye. Abaye asked the same question. Mashkin Shizofu, time of my exertion is called. If the whole problem is that it's Xera, maybe you're going to end up squeezing. It makes no sense. Why would we make a second step? Don't use a Beitra Shinol de Biyonta, because maybe you'll come to drink wine or grape juice that had dripped out of the grapes today. And don't do that, because then maybe you'll come to actually squeeze the grapes. I mean, that's again two steps. Which the Gemara replies, Kulo Chod Gzeira. They made a single Gzeira, Mashkin Shizofu, and the way that Gzeira was defined were things that come out on their own from within something else. So let's go through now the way that all of these things tie together. So we have Rav Nachman's approach. Why doesn't everybody agree with Rav Nachman? Because Kulo Chod Rav Nachman Mahamri. It's clear why everybody didn't want to say like Rav Nachman. Because Kikushan, we asked before, why don't we argue Niflug Betarvaya? Why don't we argue both in the Tarnagolet Ubehi Ubeitzata? And that way we would have known the halacha both on Libet Beit Shammai and on Libet Beit Hillel, the Chiddush in each of them. That Beit Shammai is ready to be Matur even Nailad, and Beit Hillel is ready to Aser even the Tarnagolet, which is just Mukta. So, okay, because of that, we had Rabba coming along and saying, Ella, I have a better shot. But Kirabba, not everybody wanted to agree with Rabba, who says that the reason of the Beitz is because maybe a Gezerah of a Yontif that comes out after a Shabbos. So, Nami lo Amri, why? Achana letlo? Because not everybody agrees of this tremendous chiddush of Hachana de Rabba. So, therefore, they don't want to say that the Svar of our Mishnah is assuming Hachana de Rabba. El Rav Yosef, the problem is, I mean, Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak seem to be saying something very similar. Okay, I understand why Rabba and Rav Nachman would want to have their pshatim as opposed to saying that it's a included within a gezerah that seems quite different. But really, what are they arguing in? The difference between Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak is so minor. Why does Rav Yosef insist that it's dafka because of gezerah peiros hanation? What's wrong with Rav Yitzchak's approach? That's mashkin shezavu. Amalach, he'll tell you, Rabbi Yosef, that a beitza is uchla. It's basically food, solid food. Peirot or uchla. To compare it to mashkin is difficult. So lafuki mashkin gelav uchla. It's not the same as mashkin, which are a drink. And therefore, he felt that it fits better into the overall gezera of the din, not of mashkin shizofu, but of peiros hanation. Was Rabbi Yitzchak, indeed, my time alone, Amalach, Rabbi Yosef, why does he want to compare an egg to dripping grapes? The difference is very simple. If you want to compare it to something, excuse me, want to compare it to something, it makes more sense to compare it to something that was not visible, was included within something else. The beitz is included within the body of the chicken, and the mashkim are included within the body of the fruit. Mashenkin perot that are on a tree and that have fallen off of the tree. The megillu v'kaimu, even before they fell down, they were always exposed. It's just a question of their falling off. The Beitzah wouldn't be included in that type of Gezerah, because it's so obviously different. But to compare it to Mashkin Shezavu, that makes sense that it was Kulachot Gezerah. And the truth is, fascinatingly, that we can derive from a comment that he made, that Ach Rabbi Yochanan Tzor V'Gezerah Mishu Mashkin Shezavu. Rabbi Yochanan also holds, like the Svora of Rabbi Yitzchak, that it's because of Mashkin Shezavu. What makes us say that? Because we know that Rabbi Yochanan Rami to Rabbi Yudah to Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yochanan had a problem with two shitas of Rabbi Yudah, and this problem itself would not be a problem unless he held of Rabbi Yudah. Umishani, and he went to answer that problem. What was the problem? He pointed out that on the one hand, Rabbi Yudah says, that the Mishnah says you cannot squeeze peirot, take out the juice on Shabbat. However, if the juice came out all on its own, then there'd be no problem. Whereas Reb Yehuda Eimer, depend, and you say, im la ochlin hayotzei mi'am mutar, im la mashkin hayotzei mi'am mutar asur. So what Reb Yehuda said is that actually it depends on the status of what you originally had these peirots for. If these parasites had been put set aside to eat and not to be used for drink, so then there's no problem, because since the leakage over here, he's got these grapes that he wanted to put on the stable and eat, and now they're leaking, he has no chashash, he's going to go ruin his grapes, which were there for another purpose. But if initially you put them there in order to get the liquid out of them, so then I yotze mi masur. Again, we spoke about the case of grapes, but the truth is that there are different elements in the sugya over there in which oil and grape, which is the standard, is different than things that are sometimes used, which are different from things that are never generally used for mash. So, but let's just keep it simple now and pretend that it's the same halacha for all types of payers. So over there, that proves to us that the bottom line is, says Rabbi Yochanan, and Alma, what we do see from here, that Rabbi Yehuda said, if it was set aside for Eichlin, then what comes out is mutter, that there's certainly not a problem, and that kol Eichlin, anything that was set aside to be eaten, according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that comes out of it is considered to be uchla de ifratu. This is a term that we had earlier. It's ochel that had gotten separated from an initial form of the ochel and is not included in any type of gezeira of mashkim shizav. In which case, the implication would be that a beitza that was nolda beyomtov, there's no basis for a gezeira of mashkim shizav. If that's the case, asks Rabbi Yochanan, for Aminu, is it not contradictory from the Mishnah in Erevin, in which Odom or Rabbi Yehuda says over there, the question was, he had a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered to be two separate Kedushas, not all one long Kedusha, because of which Rabbi Yehuda says, Matne Adam, Al-Kalkalasha, Perotei, a guy forgot to take off Trumas and Maaser from before Rosh Hashanah. So normally you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maaser because it's called Mitaken. So, but what you can do is if you have now Tevel, you take a Kalkola Shel Peres, and you make a Tnai on it, on the Yom Tov Rishon of Rosh Hashanah. Remember, the Yom Tov Rishon of Rosh Hashanah, we weren't sure whether today is Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, original. So take now the Kalkola Shel Peres on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and you go ahead and you take off Maizmas with a Tnai, and you say, if today is actually not Rosh Hashanah, and today is actually Yom Chol, and it's the last day of Elul, so then I want the Trumas of Maizmas to be Chal today. But if today is indeed the real Rosh Hashanah and it's Echad B'Tishrei, ignore what I'm saying. The next day, you come back, you take the same Peres, and you say, if yesterday was Kadesh and today is Chol, I now want to take off the Truma and the Maaserim right now. But if today is Rosh Hashanah, yesterday was Chol, so then obviously what I'm saying is meaningless, because I already took off the Truma and the Maaserim yesterday. And then V'Ochla B'Sheni, therefore on the second day you can definitely eat it, because Maman of Shach, either I had taken off the Truma and the Maaserim on the first day, or I took them off today. The same thing would be true. If an egg was laid berisha on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it is allowed to be eaten on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, te'achel b'sheni, for the same reason. If yesterday was chol, so then it was born on a chol day. What's the problem? Certainly eat it on yanta. If yesterday was kadesh and today is chol, so you're allowed, everybody agrees, you're allowed to eat a betish and olda b'yanta after yanta. Okay, says Rabbi Yochanan, but does this not imply you're only allowed to eat that egg on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, B'Sheinin. He was matir to eat it on the second day, Avo B'Rishon Lo. So that means that he's now contradicting himself, because why would he possibly aser a Beit Shenolda B'Yomtev if he holds that Mashkin Shezavu are Mutari? Now, this, of course, is a ridiculous question. If Lemaisa, there's two completely different issues, that Beit Shenolda B'Yomtev has nothing to do with Mashkin Shezavu. So the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan asked this question is an indication that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the reasoning behind the Yisr of Beit Shenol de Biyontev is the fact that it's similar to Mashkim Shezavu. Umishani, Rabbi Yochanan went to now to answer his problem in the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, look, I guess we'll have to say that Muchlefet Ashita, that the Mishnah about Shabbat and the Heter over there on Mashkin Shezavu, if the parents were aimed in La'achila, it's true according to Rabbanah, but according to Rabbi Yehuda would have asserted the payres even if they were on Yom La'achila, in which case Rabbi Yehuda is now L'shitasei, which he asserted in Erevin, eating the Beit Shenol de Biyantav on the first day. So in other words, the eighth second payres, we reverse the Shita. Now, it's clear, says the Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan is claiming that there's a contradiction between the sugya of Mashkin Shezavu and the sugya of Beit Shenol de, which on the surface, I mean, it sounds absolutely crazy. It must be Shvamina Chataimu, that Rabbi Yochanan is taking for granted that the reasoning behind Beit Shenol de Biyantav is exactly the same reasoning, because if he held that it was, let's say, because of Achonah de Rabba, or he held that it was because of some of the other gezeres, because of mukta and so on. So then, what would be the kasha? It's clear that he holds to it like Rav Yochanan. Ravina, Mama. Ravina says on the kasha of Rabbi Yochanan, there's no need to be ma'apir the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the peres that were amid lachim liolam late low table, and you don't need to reverse it. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda was speaking l'shitas rabbanan karmel. In other words, what he meant to say is like, I'm saying b'sheni. It's not that I hold it's only mut b'sheni. Lididi, according to my shita, that holds that indeed the halacha is that de ifras, and that anything including mashkin shizavu is just considered to be a different form of the same eichlin. So then what's the problem? You can even eat it berisha. There's no problem even eating it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But, I mean, it's uchla de ifras, but even you, l'dihu, you hold that there's a gzeir of mashkin shizavu, which I don't know, even though the pears were aimed in lachilas. According to you, the beta should be awesome, but at least be made that your Rosh Hashanah is two kedushas. So Adeli Mia said, even though it was Nailat Berisha, so then Besheni at Sharia, the Shnei Kedushas, saying, why should something that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah be also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? And the Rabbanan respond, no, we disagree with you even in this issue. A, we disagree with you that there is a problem with the beta Shenolda, because we hold that indeed Mashkin Shizovu we don't call Uchla Difras. And B, we disagree with your other contention, that you're saying even if we would hold such a thing, I mean, certainly the 2 days are completely different kiddushes, there's no reason to ask the whole Rosh Hashanah just because the Beitzah was born on the first day. We disagree with that, and we hold the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered to be basically one long day of kiddushes. Ravina Bereda Ravula Amma. Ravina Bereda Ravula has another answer to the contradiction in Rav Yehuda, because you're assuming all along that the issue over here is that it's uchla de ifras, meaning that what we're dealing with is a tarnagola that was a medes lachila and that had a beitza, and that therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there should be no problem of anything at all with mashkin shezavu, because after all, it's uchla de ifras. But suppose we would be talking about a tarnagola that was not a medes lachila, so then this whole argument breaks down. Therefore, the simpler solution, Tainas Ravina Breda Ravula, is that Hacha, in the Mishnah of Erevin, where Rabbi Yehuda was Matir, the Beitza, only on the second day, and not on the first day, because he doesn't want to say Ravina's Teret, that he was going, Rabbi Yehuda, only Lashitas Rabbana. Indeed, he himself was saying that it would be also on the first day, but you know why? There we were talking about a Tarnagolet or Medet L'Gadel Beitzin. We weren't talking over there about a Tarnagolet that was meant to be eaten, and the way, therefore, to look at the Beitza would be that it was Uchla de Yifra. It was simply a mukta tanagolet that had been set aside as a hatchery, or to give me fresh eggs every day, in which case Rebuta the time, eh? And this is simply Rebuta l'shitasa. Rebuta l'shitasa we know holds both by Shabbos and by Yontav of mukta. So this is Rebuta the time, the easily mukta. Therefore the Beitz is also on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because of mukta, not because of mashkin shezavu. And there's no problem, I don't know, there's a problem with mashkin shezavu as a Rebuta. But therefore there would be no question over here of a stira with the Mishnah and Shabbos. There's absolutely no relationship between these two sugya. Base. Going back now to the shittas of Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, we learn that the only problem of Beitza Shenolda B'Yomtiv, according to Beis Hillel, is because of a gzeira that is similar to either Mashkin Shezavu or because of Peres HaNeshrin, is there not a problem from the following bracket? Bryce says like this, Echad Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbat, you're not allowed to carry, forget about eating, now we're talking about even just tilta, regular mukta. So you cannot use it even for purposes which are the use of its own guf, in other words, the letzerech gufa. You cannot use it lo lachasot batakli. Let's say I've got a bottle, I don't have a top for the bottle, so I want to use an egg as the bottle top to prevent dirt from falling in. So you can't use that as the top of a bottle. V'lo lismoch bakurai hamita. I mean, obviously, the most useful use of an egg, as everybody knows, is if your leg of your bed is loose, you simply take the egg and you put it under the leg that's been cut short, and then you sit on your bed supported by the egg. This is remarkable, because obviously if you put an egg on its sharp point, then the incredible engineering of the egg is such that you actually could support a bet on it, which is astounding that the Gemara takes this, it's so humorous, and make the egg, after all, the way in which you support your bet. I love this. It's schmacky humor. So you can't use the egg for Karoi Habita. However, you are allowed to be metaltel, something else. This is called tiltu litzerech davar sheino nital. I'll pick up now something else to, and it's true that there's a machlokes, and Rabbi Yitzchak Lemaisa holds in Masechah Shabbos that ein kli nital litzerech davar hanital. So he'll have to say that the case over here is referring to where I needed to move that kli originally anyway. Let's say I needed to sit on the bed. So litzerech mekayimai, I could move it. Once I'm moving it, litzerech mekayimai, I can take it wherever I want. So okay, so I'm allowed to put it now over this egg that's sitting on the floor in order that nobody should step on it. Now, sveika, if however I'm not sure, the assumption being, if I'm not sure whether the beitzah was an older beyamta, whether the beitzah was an older bechol, so then asura becomes now an isur mitzad asafet. Not only that, im this arava, if now a beitzah shen older beyamta becomes mixed up in another 1,000 beitzah that were an older bechol, kulan asuras. We don't say that this beitzah should be bottle barov and 2 other beitzah that are mutaris, even in 1,000 it's not going to be bottle. Now, why in the world would such a big thing be true? So bishlem elu rabba. I understand according to Rabba's approach, who held of Achana the Rabba. So the Yomar Mishum Achana, his whole svara was because of Achana before. So therefore I can understand why we would say over here that Sveika is awesome, because we're dealing with Safek Diraisa. So Safek Diraisa, whole Sveika Diraisa is Lachumra. But according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, the whole thing anyway was an Isser because of a Gzeira Mishum, either a Perasanation or because of Mashkin Shazavo, which means that the whole basis of the Isser anyway is only a Sveika Rabbanan. So whoever heard of a Sveika Rabbanan going with Chumra would say Sveika is Osir. Sveika Rabbanan, the whole Sveika Rabbanan is Lakula. So why did we say that a Safek is Osir? Answers the Gemara, no, you're confused. There's two different issues over here. First, we were talking about a Beitza that was an older. Then when we said Sveika, what do you mean Sofik if it was an old on Yontiv? We meant if it's a Sofik, if it came from a Treva, so that the Tanagolet might have been a Treva. So then, Enochinami, we are dealing with the Diraisa. And once we're talking about the Yisra of a Beitzah from old on Yontiv, we also talk about an Yisra, a Beitzah that's also because of a Sofik Treva. So, if that's the case, this, by the way, there is a little bit of a problem. Zaman Yomer will hold that a bird that's a trefa will not give forth a trefa in your lettuce. We can say over here it's talking about that it became a trefa after all they had the basis. Okay, but these are chulin issues and not our problem. So once it's coming to tell me what the din is already of a safi trefa, we go lachun. Oh, it's a zingwar. No. Because, now the last part doesn't work out. Because, see, we thought that the reason that there was such a chumra, that even if it gets mixed up in 1,000, which normally, but why in the world would we be so machir? Because there's a concept called Dovash Yeshua Matirin. Dovash Yeshua Matirin means, look, if you're able to just wait until the Yisr goes away, so then instead of being Matir by using the Svara of Bot, a bit of a Rov, don't be same on Rov, and instead wait until you can eat it better, Gomor, when the Yisr passed. Okay, so we thought that the whole problem was if it was a Beit Shalom to be Yomtev, it's only going to be Asar on Yomtev, so what do you have to be Samech on Rov for? Eat it tomorrow, we don't have a problem with Yomtev. But now that you're telling me that it's a Beitza of a Trefa, so now, understand, there's no reason to be Machmer on a Beitza of a Trefa, it's not going to be Mutter tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow, or ever. So now you've got no choice, either it's always going to be Asar for no reason. I mean, so why in the world should I not be Samech on Rov? So therefore, something's fishy over here, says the Gemara. Yachiyema Seifa, look at the next piece of the Braisa. It says, Nisarva be'elef. It gets mixed up in 1,000 beitzim that were kosher. Kulam asuris. We're going to ask for 1,000 beitzim? Yahamit bishlamel. I understand. If you're going to tell me that the question over here was not a beitzim that was a suffer trefa, but a beitzim that was a suffik, if it was an older beyant, if it was a suffik, it was an older bechol. Okay, so it's a davar sheyesh lamatir. I understand that we've got a davar sheyesh lamatir. So let me just wait until afterwards and I can eat it. The whole davar sheyesh lamatir in afilabelif lobatio. The chachamim and regeis are not to be samechon rov. But if you're going to say what you're claiming now, then when it says if you're beitza safik, it means safik treifa. Davar sheyesh lamatir in. So in which case, kibatel beruba. Why in the world are we going to be machmer? we should say that we're talking about over here something that's bought or Barov, even if it would be two to one. In which case, we have no choice but to say that we are indeed talking about Beit HaShinol de Beyonta. And yet, for some reason, the same Bryce is saying that a Suffolk of a Beit HaShinol de Beyonta, we would go L'Chumrah. But that implies that it's a D'Oraisa, which seems to contradict both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, who are claiming that it's all an Issa D'Rabbanan. V'chitema, maybe you'll come to give me another Torah to say, no. The reason that it's not Bato Be'elef is not because it's a Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin. It's based on another concept, which is that anything that is Choshev in itself. So we have such a concept of Hashivas. For instance, we have an idea called a birya, something that is a living organism, is considered to be not Bato. So we also have other things, as we'll see, things that are generally sold by number and so on. So maybe you'll tell me that a Beit is considered to be Choshev, and therefore we're only Mevata Barov, something that is considered to be and not itself crying out to its own status. So that would be all very nice if in the sugya that defines those things that are considered to be Choshev and not Bato Barov, is there's a Madi Omar who says that only means kol shadarka limonas shanim. Even kol shadarka limonas, meaning everything that there are some people that will sell by the unit. So if you go into a grocery store and he'll sell you an egg for a certain price. Okay, so if that's the case, so then that means you're buying eggs by the unit, then you're going to have something that's kosher. If that's the case, it won't be bottle. And then we can go back to claiming that the case over here about Suffolk is not a Suffolk Nolde Beyonta, but a Suffolk Trefus, and there's no problem with Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak. But El Laman Diomar Es Shadak Limana Shinya. There's another Man Diomar, however, who says, no, it's not called Shadak Limana, anything which is sometimes sold by number, but rather Dafka, those things which everybody sells only by number, and never by a general estimate, a package of eggs and so on. So an egg is something that is sometimes sold in a group which is not necessarily numbered. So then Ma'ika Lameima, the Beitza would not be considered according to these standards of Dover Chasha, and therefore it ought to be bottle, unless we're talking about a Beitza Shinol de Beyonta. But if we're talking about a Beitza Shreifa, why wouldn't the Beitza Shreifa be bottle Barov? Now, once we already brought up this question, we're now going to go off a little bit on a tangent to bring out the above-mentioned machloket to Tana. Misha yalo chavile tiltan shel kiloi haker. So somebody has, the tiltan, Rashi says, is a type of legume which was used for sweetening pots. In order to take away some of the overall smell, fatty smell in the pot. And okay, Rashi elsewhere in the Bach points out that Rashi and mentions a type of spice, even though it is a legume, but it's not eaten by itself. This is actually the Orach brings, this is what we call chilba. Chilba is the tamani spice. But in any event, if you have packages of tiltan, which were kaloya karam, they grew over here in a vineyard, and therefore they're usher because of kilai. Yidalku, so then you have to burn them, because kaloya karam is of course usher bound. No, and they're supposed to be burnt. Nisarvu, let's say these packages, bacherot, get mixed up in other packages which did not grow in the kaloya karam, and these got now mixed up in further of heter. So you think, okay, so now we have one suffix and another suffix, and certainly an overwhelming growth. Kulan yidal. No, they all have to be burnt up, because there's yisur ba'ana that's mixed up in them. It's not bottle. They've already been made. V'chachamim omrin. V'chachamim say why. But it is that kiloya karen is bottle, 1 in 200. So you've got 200 parts, heter, to one part isur, then it becomes bottle. Okay, and that one of the rabbanans, like rabbanan, were geyser din of bito when it comes to truma. With 1 to 100, so here they upped it because the Yisra Ana, 1 in 200, sometimes it's 1 in 60, sometimes it's Rov. These are already didn't have to have it. What was the machlokas based on? Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer et Shadako Limano. Rabbi Meir said the only thing that all the things that are sold by number are not considered to be bottle, and therefore it's Mekadesh. Mekadesh, word Mekadesh is built on the Lashon of the Pasuk, Pentukdash. By Kaloya Karam, so we always use the word Aser, and we call it Mikadi. So anything which is Darko Limonais, which is sold by the package, and Chavilei Tilton is sold by the package, so then the whole thing becomes Aser, it's not Patal. V'chachomim, but Chachomim say, no. Eino Mikadesh, if you have a mixture of 200 to 1, there's no problem of Isser, unless there's six things which are exceedingly Chasher, Those things indeed we agree with you are not bato, according to Rabbi Akiva, the seven things that are considered to be very kosher. The Elohim, the things which according to Rabbanan are kosher enough not to be bato, is egozei perech. These are like walnuts. They come from this place. Some learn it's the name of a makom. Perech, that's how Rashi learned. And that's how the Rambam learns it. Pirshei Mishnah is. Okay, the Rav learns that it means a type of nut that has a very easy to peel off shell. In any event, it's a large and very crush of a nut that people will pay a lot of money for. Rimonei Badan, beautiful pomegranates that come from a place called Badan. Chaviot Stumot, full barrel sealed of wine. Chilfei Terodim, we have over here the long, again, the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos learns Chilfei doesn't mean the long leaves, but rather it means a lotion of Chalipin, that when you cut them, so the beet regrows. But, okay, there's other lashonis as well. But again, these were considered to be very large, very harsh of a leaf. Kilche kruv, in Eretz Yisrael, the cabbage grows very large. Delat yivanit, yivanit pumpkin, grows very large. These things are not bottled because they call attention to themselves. Rabbi Akiva Mosif, afki karocha balabayit, when that balabayit makes challah, big, beautiful challah, these are considered to be chashav, and aren't bottled in other challah. What we're referring to over here in terms of bittul, haro'ilo orla, to the egozim, the rimonim, the chaviot yayin, could be orla. So then, in terms of orla, they're never about haro'ilo kloya karen. Let's say the trodim, the kruv, the delat, could have grown in a vineyard and would have been also because of kloya karen. So that we're talking about kloya karen. These things are not about. Now, there's a machlokus about this Mishnah of how to read the word of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan says what Rabbi Meir said was etch darko limanot, something which is always sold by number, never sold in any other way. Shaninu in Rabbi Meir's word, this is what Rabbi Meir, we were mekabel in the lashon of the Mishnah. That's chashuv. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, the word that Rabbi Meir used was kol shadarko limanot, things that are generally, or that sometimes rather people will be meicher, that that's sufficient to make it chashuv. So now, in our So if you're going to tell me, saying you're going to tell me that with the correct way is called Shadaka Limanais, then we could say that we're talking about over here, indeed a Beit HaStreifa, to avoid the problem of the Sveika on the Drabanan, to avoid the problem of proving that this couldn't be referring to a Beit HaShanol de Beyonta, but rather the Beit HaStreifa, and everything would be fine. Because you could say that a Beit is a Dover Kosher, because there are people who sell a Bamin. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Es Shadaka Limanas, there's only those things that are invariably sold by number. So how are you going to say Beit is not invariably sold by number? So Ma'ikal Meimar, you're back to your original question. That if you're trying to tell me that it's a Beit HaStreifa, it's a Beit HaStreifa, so why in the world is a Beit HaStreifa considered to be bottle, not considered to be bottle in the Tarumas? It's not considered to be something. Sorry. It's not considered to be something that's chashev, according to the way Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Meir, and therefore it should be bought to Barot. And it's not considered to be a dover, sheish v'matirin, obviously. The only explanation is that indeed we are talking about a Beit HaShanol de Beyonta. The reason it's not bottle is because it's a dover, sheish v'matirin. But if that's the case, then we've got another problem. So then why is a suffix usher if it's only a suffix rabbanon, and a suffix rabbanon should be lakula? So one way or the other, we're in trouble. And that would mean that Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef must be wrong, and that Beit HaShanol de Beyonta indeed will never be bottled because it's Dover Sheish L'Matirin, but indeed its Sveika will be Osir because it's an Issa D'Oraisa, not an Issa D'Rabbanan, as they're claiming because of Mashkin Shazavu or because of Paris HaNation. So what are they going to do with it? Rav Papa answers Rav Papa, Hai Tana. The Braisa of the year is indeed talking about a Beit HaShanol. And this is another Tana. This is the Tana that everyone agrees that a Beit is considered to be a Dover Chasher, that this Tana holds that a Beit is a Dover Chasher, because this is the Tana that holds of Litra Ktsiyas, as we're about to see. The Yomar Kol Davar should be Minyan. Anything which some people would sell B'Minyan doesn't even have to be a norm. Or Dover Sheyesh B'Minyan can be sold that way, as another gear said. So afilu b'drabonan lo bato, even on something that's only this drabonan, such as our case, Beit HaShanol de Beyonta, will not be bato. And kol shekein b'diraisa, I mean, certainly the Beit HaShreifa will not be bato, which is the case we're trying to read in here. Aliba, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, in which you would have the second sveika case would be a sveika of the Beis HaTreifa, and that indeed would not be bottled, because it's not indeed a davar shel matirin, but it is a davar sheyesh bo minyan. This doesn't even enter the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakshim, Ketei Bishleim, like one of these shitas. This is another Tana. This other Tana definitely holds. Not Rabbi Meir, it's not the Rabbanim. This Tana definitely holds that there is a concept of eno bottle because of the chashivas of being capable of being sold by none. That's not. Litraktziot. And the ktziot are fig, which have dried in the field. And then we use a little machine to cut off the base of the fig and to make it pressable. And we compress them. We derase them. And we turn it basically into a gel. And it turns into a whole, what's called a fig cake, called a dvela. So we take this ktziot, we're dorsa alpi igul. We press it into this container. The igul was what they used to make these dvela, igule dvela in. So we compressed it inside that, and we put weight on it until it finally turns into one solid gel of mush figs. And now we had a ktziot that were filled originally with perfectly kosher tainim that were chulin, who were able to be eaten. But what we did is we took truma. It's case over here. Is the Mishnah of the, actually, or there's some question of, are we talking about a Brisa, which is a Brisa in Zvachim, or are we quoting the Mishnah in Truma? The problem is, in the Mishnah of Truma, this is brought, actually, as a Machloket, and not really the way we're quoting it over here. But in any event, there's certainly a Mandiyama, or in the Brisa, it's about Tam, that if we mixed in Truma on the top of an eagle, and now, Enio Yodea Be'ezi Igul Dorasa. He doesn't know now which one. Got a bunch of these containers in which he had pressed fig. Was I saying dates all along, by the way? I hope not, because in reference to figs, I always do that. Well, if I did say date, please correct before I make them fig. So I have over here now pressed fig. Enio Yodea Be'ezi Igul Dorasa. He doesn't know now in which one he pressed it, but he knows it was definitely on the top. It was the last thing he had put in. Or for that matter, if he pressed it, I'll be chavit. Or I'll be kaveret. Kaveret is a hive, it's a rounded container that he used for growing beet. So there's a machlokes about what the machlokes was in this case. So Rabbi Meir, Omer, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, he says like this. Rabbi Eliezer said, right, what you should do is like this. Let's say that we don't have 100 other containers to be mevatel, the one container in which there's truma. Ah, but Rebbe Eliezer says, what do you need 100 other containers? After all, only the top half of the container was crushed fig of truma. The bottom half wasn't. So let's take a look at the top and the bottom as being two different sections. So ro'ina tel yonot kilo ein prudot. Va'tachtonot, ma'lo tel yonot. So let's double it. So you have 50. So in these 50 other containers, there's really 100. So we can take a look at as if we have 100 to 1, and it would be kosher, and everything would be fine. Why do we do such a thing? I mean, lemaisa, we haven't really mixed them. We know that we've only got a suffix on the top. It's because since the whole Isra over here is a question on the Rabbanan, so we'll be makil over here, and we'll be mala it in less, because the real dinner diraisa of truma would be on tvua. Rav Yoshua, Imer, Imesham, Meyapunim, Yalu. No, only if you've got 100 to 1 of similar tops. So then it'll be bottle in one in the 100, against 100. But Imlav, if not, all of the tops are usher, and you can only use the Shulayim, because of course the Shulayim were included in the Suffolk anyway. Now, Rav Yehuda, Imer, but Rav Yehuda said that Rav Eliezer, Omer, that no, that's not the Makos. That Rav Eliezer said, what you claim, Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Yoshua said, that namely, Yesham Meyapumim Yalu, Vim Lava Pumim Asrim Vashulayim Mutar, we can only look at the part that is the part of the Suf, which is the top half of each one of them. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yoshua said was, Afilu Yesham Sholesh Meyas Pumim Lo Yalu. I don't care if you got 300 Pumim. You cannot go ahead and be Mavato the Isser here at all, because the top of these kelim is Yesh Bo Minyan. It's possible to sell this, and there are people that would sell it by the number of containers. So how can you be Mevato, the top of one container, another container? Even though we'd be talking about a Rabbana. Rabbi Yoshua holds that anything she Yesh Bo Minyan is not Bato, even if it's Rabbana. Therefore, based on this, Rav Papa is saying that there is a Tana who holds that kol davar sheyesh bo minyan is not batal. In which case, in other words, the das of Rabbi Yeshua, Alib and Rabbi Yehuda, would be the source of that brisa. Therefore, it doesn't involve the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlomo. Therefore, the beitza would certainly be included in this, and we could learn it's talking about sveika means a beitza. That's a sveika of its shreifa, and that's why it's not bottle, not because it's a beitza shenod beyantiv, and it's not bottle because it's davar sheyesh matir, and it's kedai to wait until after yantiv. Now, that's the answer. Lamaisa, the Gemara continues to bring the rest of the brisa. Look, you don't have to keep going on and on. I mean, you can stop at any time you want to on this topic. Because now we know what the teretz is. But in any event, continues the brisa. Dirasa, if he pressed now the litra ktsias of these figs, be igul v'eni yodeh be'eze igul dirasa, dibe akol yal. You don't know now where at all in the... Well, at this point we say, it sounds like we're saying the same thing. You don't know in which one you pressed it. Everybody agrees it should be Yer Lebechad Meah. What? Says the Gemara, Divrei HaKol. I know Plutaya. I mean, that's the argument. I thought you just said they're not Batal. The Pope explained, Achi Ka'ama. That there are Sa'ad, the Igul, you pressed it somewhere within the Igul, but you don't know where in the Igul. The top, the bottom, the middle, what? So then already it becomes not recognizable at all. So there was not Beminion either. So any idea, Bezim Akom, the Igul Doros, the Tzvona, the Drona, in which case, this now becomes a normal case of bit, only about 1 to 100 in cases of truma. All right, so now, basically, we've answered Kasha and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. Sveika shel beitza is also because it's a suffix of a beitza, that is a treva indeed, and the beitza will not be bottle. So that a beitza, indeed, which is a suffix, nolda beyanta, which is sveika drabonan, over there, a sveika drabonan certainly would not have been asr. Tomorrow we'll see whether there is an alternative answer to the question on Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef.